All of us have something that we value most in our lives. It could be our family, our friends, our jobs, or something completely different. While these things aren't wrong to have value in our lives, there is one thing that we need to hold over everything. Many people nowadays think that power or wealth is the most valuable thing that we can have. This is not right. Our souls are the most valuable thing. Most of us probably don't think of this as being really valuable, but our soul determines where we spend eternity. This is the most important thing. If we let our soul conform to the world, then we could lose eternal happiness with God in heaven. That is why we should protect our souls. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." If one of us has a treasure, then I'm guessing that you would want to protect that treasure in a safe or a bank and keep it as safe as possible. Do you treat your soul this way? Many things can try to tear our soul away from God. It will rob us like a robber of a treasure. Some of these things include music, what we watch on TV, or the friends we have. Even if we don't realize it, these things can influence us in a bad way if we don't keep up our guard. What goes into the soul comes out in our actions, as Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says. So do we reflect what we value most? Where do we spend most of our free time? See, I like to spend my time fishing along with other outdoor activities, which itself is not wrong. When it becomes bad is when I spend so much time on that one hobby that I forget about God. None of our hobbies are bad, but we can lose focus on what truly matters when we spend so much time on it. Did you know that statistics say that in 2021, the average screen time for a phone is 3 hours and 43 minutes a day? That's roughly 50 days in a year. Imagine how much time you could spend helping others and studying God's word in that time. Instead of electronics, we should focus on God. He should be our first priority in life. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 41, verses 1 through 2. Psalms chapter 41, verses 1 through 2. As the deer pants for the flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Our souls should long to be with God like David's soul did. We should spend our time digging into God's word and gaining wisdom and helping others. If we have a passion for God, then we will do these things. So do we have a passion for God? Do we truly have a passion for God? If we do our actions reflect that? If we have a passion for God, it will show in our actions and what we do and where we spend most of our time. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 18. Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 18. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. This verse talks about how a tree is known by its fruit. If the tree is rotten, then the tree will not produce good fruit. If the tree is good, then it will not produce bad fruit. This is like our actions. Just like the fruit, our actions reflect who we are. If we're good, strong, faithful Christians, then our fruit will be good. If we're not good Christians, then our fruit will not be good. Let's look at Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. And he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure, that if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if it cannot, you can cut it down." There is an expectation that we as Christians bear fruit. The tree that was found without fruit would potentially be cut down because it was useless. This compares to us. If we don't bear fruit, we are useless. Paul is a great example of bearing good fruit. Once he was converted, he dedicated his whole life to teaching the gospel to people in several different countries. He went through so many hardships, but he never gave up on his mission. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, and danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. As we see here, he suffered greatly for the sake of Christ. Anyone could look at his life's work and see that he reflected God in everything he did. He risked his life for God. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul, this is at the end of his life. He lived his life according to God's will, and he said that he fought the good fight, he has finished the race, and that he has kept the faith. Can you say that today? Can you say right now that you have fought the good fight, kept the faith, and finished the race? This is what we should strive to be able to say. It should be as a goal for us to reach. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. People see what we do. And we don't want the works that people see to be bad. We want them to be good so that we can be a good example to others and lead them to Christ. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. What are some biblical examples of value? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. This verse is telling us about the value of the kingdom of heaven. He said it is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man finds and sells everything he owns so that he could attain that field and gain the treasure. Even though he sold everything, he gained the valuable treasure. He was excited and extremely happy to find that treasure, and everything he had was worthless compared to it. Everything in our lives is completely worthless compared to our souls, because without it, our souls, we can't make it to heaven. Our souls should hold the most value in our lives, as the treasure did for the man in the parable. In the next couple of verses, chapter 13, verses 45 through 46, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." This parable is extremely similar to the parable about the treasure. This one is about a man who finds a pearl of great value, so he sells all that he has and buys it. He saw how great its value was, so he sold everything he had to get it. Back then in Jesus' time, pearls were extremely valuable. It was an ultimate status symbol to wear a pearl. We should all see our souls and the kingdom of heaven as a valuable treasure or the pearl and be willing to lose the things on the world to get it. The world is just a temporary place. We could either lose the temporary comfort of the world and gain eternal happiness with God, or we could choose the life of sin but lose that eternal peace and happiness. God values us greatly. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us, which we didn't deserve. And John 3:16 says this: "Our soul is worth the death of his own son." How do you respond to that? Will you turn away the love and compassion of God, or will you receive it with joy and happiness? Let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word and the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when the tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, he immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness and riches choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears good fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This parable is about a man who is sowing seeds. Some of those seeds that he scattered landed on the path, others on the rocks, some in thorns, and the rest on the good soil. This is representative to our hearts. Some people turn away the gospel like the seeds that landed on the thorns. Others receive it with happiness, but don't have roots in the word and fall away like that which fell on the rocky soil. We should value him in return for what he has done for us, and we should live our lives righteously for him as the seed that fell on the good soil did. You can decide whether or not you want to turn away God's love like the seeds that landed in the thorns, or you can accept it with joy, like the man who found the treasure in a field. All you must do to be saved is hear, Romans 10:17, believe, John 8:24, repent, Luke 13, verse 3, confess, Mark 10, verse 32, be baptized, Mark 16:16, and remain faithful for the rest of your life. If you would like to do this or need the prayers of the church, then please come forward as we stand and sing.